Right. Philippians chapter number 4, if you'll stand as we read God's word. Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. I want you to look with me at verse number 6. Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. That's a bold statement, isn't it, right there, church? For someone to tell a whole group of people, everything you know about me, you need to do it. Paul must have been living a pretty holy life to make a statement like that. And he says, but if you do those things, watch. He said, and the God of peace shall be with you. Lord, we love you tonight. Lord, I ask God that you'd help us. Lord, I ask God that you give me Holy Ghost unction tonight. Lord, I do realize, God, that I'll get as much of the Holy Spirit, Lord, as I'll ever get, Lord, because I'm saved. But Lord, there is an aspect of God of having unction, Lord, that is to be yielded to you. And Lord, I ask God that you'd help me yield to you tonight. Lord, that you would help our people, Lord, to truly, God, to walk away from here having been helped by your word. God, something that's applicable to their life today. Lord, I ask God that we leave here encouraged, Lord, by what your word tells us. Lord, I'm reminded of the parable of the sower, God, how there were many times, Lord, when the sower sowed the seed, how the devil, Lord, came and he took away the seed. Lord, there are times it was sowed among thorns and the thorns choked it. That is the cares of this world. Lord, I ask God that you'd help us to have good hearts, good soul tonight. So, Lord, that the seed can fall on good ground and bring forth fruit. And Lord, everything that's said and done, God, that you'd get the glory. We love you. In your name we pray, amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. 1555, there was a gentleman. He was a bishop in England by the name of Dr. Nicholas Ridley. If you know anything about Baptist history, you've probably heard of his name. And he was a bishop, and because of his stand for faith, he was arrested. And eventually he would be burned to the stake alongside of one of his companions. The night before they executed Mr. Ridley, he was in a prison cell, and his brother visited him in prison, and he made a request to stay with his brother throughout that night. And when he came and found his brother in the prison cell, he told him, they said, listen, I'm going to come and I'm going to stay with you and I'm just going to try to comfort you. They say that the night before prisoners on death row is one of the most nights that are filled with the utmost anxiety, as we would expect. And as he came and met his brother that night and tried to comfort him, his brother told him, he said, I love you, but I don't need you. He said, because tonight I'm going to sleep as good as I have any other night, because I have the peace of God which passes all understanding. Mr. Ridley knew the peace of God. He was able to rely on the Lord for his help. In fact, there's accounts, and you can read after I believe it's Fox's Book of Martyrs, the accounts of when he was burned to the stake, how it almost seemed as if the flames did not inflict pain upon him, but he cried out to heaven, asking the Lord that his body would literally be a candle that would burn for the sake of the gospel. And can I just tell you tonight that it is only by the peace of God that someone can have what Mr. Ridley had. The peace of God. On Sunday morning, I was surprised as I was studying with this, it really goes hand in hand with Sunday morning's message about knowing God and God knowing what we have need of and being careful for nothing or take no thought. Watchman Nee said this. He said, an unpeaceful mind cannot operate normally. A born-again person ought to possess unspeakable peace in the spirit. Matthew Henry said this, talking about the Lord when he died. He said,
Christ, when he died, he commended his spirit to the Father. He gave his clothes to the soldiers. He gave his mother to John. But when it come to the disciples, he didn't leave them silver nor gold. But when it come to the disciples, he left them a peace that passes all understanding. You realize tonight that we are living in unprecedented times. We are living in a world of tribulation, as I mentioned Sunday morning. But do you realize, child of God, that God wants you to have peace? God has provided peace for you, and peace is obtainable. We don't have to go around wondering and worrying constantly. And, you know, the message on Sunday morning was this. It was to take no thought. That means to not worry. But how many times we're not obedient to the Spirit of God, and we do worry. We don't submit ourselves to the Spirit of God, and we find ourselves being anxious. We find ourselves in our mind, we're worrying about our job or our income or family issues, and we find ourselves in a pool of worry. Well, Paul is going to talk to us tonight, and he's going to help us to know this: how to obtain peace. How to obtain peace. Do you realize tonight, child of God, that you can have the peace of God? The same peace of God, listen, the same Lord and Savior that stood up on the boat and said, "Peace, be still." The same child of God that was killed by a martyr's stake. Listen, that very same peace, listen, we'll probably never face trials like that, praise the Lord, but the same peace that God gave them is the same peace that God can give us tonight. Number one, if you're taking notes, I want you to notice the promise of peace. Now, the promise of peace. We need to understand the context of the book. Remember, Paul, we've heard it time and time again. He's not writing from the beach. He's not writing from an Airbnb, a vacation. He's writing from a prison cell. Remember, it's Paul that was beaten. It was Paul that was stoned. It was Paul that was shipwrecked. Listen, Paul went through a lot. And if Paul is telling us that we can have peace, I believe we can have peace tonight. The promise of peace. Look with me in verse number six. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, I want you to notice the next word, please, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Jump down with me to verse number 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace, notice the next word please, shall be with you. You know what the word shall means? It means that it implies a promise. Verse number 7 promises us the peace of God. But watch this. In verse number 9, we are promised the God of peace. Paul's not only saying, are you going to get the peace of God, but you're going to get the God of peace. I don't know about you, but I'm a candidate for the peace, and I'm a candidate for the peace giver. Amen. He said, you'll get the peace of God and the God of peace. It's a promise. Shall. It's not, I hope so. Do y'all realize this, that there's some time in Scripture it's not a promise? But right here, it is a promise. There is a promise of peace. D.L. Moody said this, God never made a promise that was too good to be true. This peace, let me just talk to you just for a second about this peace. This ain't just a relaxing peace. No, this ain't just a peace that, man, that check hits your bank account and you can breathe for another week. This ain't any type of peace that the world can offer. But notice what Paul said. He said, this type of peace is peace that passes all understanding. You know what that means? You can't even comprehend it. You can't even fathom. It blows my mind when I read stories about martyrs, how they'll kiss the very stake that they are to be burned at. It blows my mind to hear about a man who's the night before his execution is sleeping soundly. That is a supernatural peace. I believe it's the same peace that Stephen felt as they begin to stone him and to crush him with rocks. And he prays out, Lord, don't lay it to their charge. I believe that's a supernatural peace. And the same peace that was promised to them is the same peace that's promised to us. It is a surpassing, it's the peace that surpasses all understanding. However, in order to get the promise of peace, listen, I don't know about you, but I want this peace. You may not feel like you need the peace, but I need God's peace. But in order to get the promise of peace, number two, there is a prerequisite of peace. If we're going to get this promise, there's some things we got to do. It ain't just going to happen. How many of you know this? Getting peace in today's world don't just happen. Even for Christians, it don't just happen. There's some things that are required of us. Would you write this down if you're taking notes? Well, let me give you the prerequisite real quick. The first prerequisite is this. There is a supernatural exchange. A supernatural exchange. Look at what he says in verse number 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. In other words, Paul's saying this. Listen, be careful for nothing, but in everything. Nothing, everything. Nothing, everything. Don't worry about nothing. Don't be concerned about nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your request be made unto God. In other words, we take our anxiety, our worries, our concerns, we give them to God. We pray. We supplicate. We let our requests be made known to God. And watch what? God gives us peace. I don't know about you, but that's a pretty good exchange, isn't it? I give God my worries, and He gives me peace. That is a supernatural exchange. Would you write this down, please? You either pray about a lot and worry about a little, or worry about a lot and pray about little. And here's what I found, church. Most of us, if we're honest with ourselves, most of us worry about a lot and pray about little. Most of us worry about a lot and pray about little. This word careful in your King James Bible, it means to be anxious. It means to be worried. It means to be concerned. When he says be careful, it means to have a distracting care. Write this down. You will either be careful or you'll be prayerful. You'll either be careful or you'll be prayerful. You cannot be prayerful and careful at the same time. You're either going to be careful, anxious, worried, full of anxiety, or you're going to live the life of a prayer warrior and not have anxiety, worry, and concern. You'll either be careful or prayerful. Now, so what do? When we see the supernatural exchange, you remember what Peter said. He said this, casting all your care, what? On Him. Why? Because He cared for you. That is that supernatural exchange. That word cast means to throw. You know what the Lord Jesus Christ wants to do with your worries, your anxieties, your concerns? He wants you to throw them at Him. He wants you to give it to Him. Don't hold on to them. Listen, this is what this looks like, okay? We get worried. Whatever issues you have, everybody in here, we have different issues, different struggles, family problems, financial problems, job problems, listen, relative problems, you name it. We all got issues and worries. And so we either meditate on them and we, how am I going to fix this? How am I going to do this? What's going to happen here? And we sit there, and we may not say it out loud, but constantly in our mind we're thinking on it. Or we do this. Lord, you know the need. And by the way, this isn't some super spiritual prayer, by the way. You don't have to have fancy words when you pray. God, you know the problem. Lord, you know the issue. You know what my finances are like. You know what my family's like. Somebody say amen right there. You know what my relatives are like. Somebody say amen right there. You know the stuff that I got going on. You know the issues. And so I'm not going to sit here and harbor it. Lord, you know it. And Lord, I'm just going to let you take care of it. I'm going to give it to you. And God says, because you've given it to me, there's the promise, I'm going to give you supernatural peace. Let me illustrate. And this may seem silly. Let me finish this before I illustrate. The careful person, that person who's, listen, when we say careful, in today's vernacular, we use it differently, okay? When we make careful, like for instance, there's a reason I have a case on my phone, okay? Because if I don't, you know, unless I'm careful, it's already got a cracked screen in it. I'll drop it. Some of y'all got cracked screens too, amen? But the idea of being careful is we've put so much energy and focus on not dropping that thing. That's what being careful is. And therefore you neglect everything else because you're so focused on that one thing. And that's what it is in Scripture. Your anxieties, your work, your job, your finances, your family, whatever you got, it consumes all of you. And so you're careful. You're full of anxiety. That's what the word careful means. It means worried. The careful person emphasizes their own strength. Here's what we like to do as Christians. Well, I'm just going to take care of it. I'm just going to figure this out. That's how we operate, ain't it, church? Well, I'm just going to fix it. It's up to me. I can do it. That's what the person who's filled with anxiety. That's what the careful person does. They say, I can handle it. But the prayerful person says, I can't handle it, but God can. The careful person emphasizes their own strength, but the prayerful person understands that their strength is not in them, but their strength is in the Lord. Would you write this if you're taking notes? Prayer equals peace. Prayer equals peace. Now, let me see if I can illustrate this. I don't do this often. Hook, I want you to come up here. How many of y'all know I pick on Hook when it's... Look, I just broke the dish. I wasn't careful. Man alive. Hook, why'd you do that? It's all right. We can still do it. Now, what'd you say, Hook? Hook said, don't sprinkle him with water. All right, here's what we're going to do. I want you to hold that. Now, this is what happens with life. You ready? Hooks gets job problems, money problems, family problems, kid problems. Life's full of problems. You see how full that is? Mm-hmm. Now, Hook, you know as good as I do that we just got brand new carpet. Mm-hmm. And I really don't want you to spill that. Now, if you do, it's okay. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to quickly. Yeah, well, but don't spill it, okay? So you balance your carefulness mm-hmm. with your speed. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? Yep. So it's better not to spill anything mm-hmm. and get there. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But you want to go as quick as you can without spilling right. it. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Everybody got it? So I just want you, so let's do 1, 2, 3, 4. That chair that's right in front of that pole, mm-hmm. I want you to get there as quick as you can without spilling any water. Just be careful. Easy. Easy. Oh, Hook. Hook. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Okay. Actually, let's bring it back. Bring it back. Come on. Come on. You're doing... Oh, man. It's okay. It's okay. But now watch. Watch this. You ready? Give me this. Watch this. Here's what happens when we pray. Lord, I got job problems, I got family problems, I got money problems, I got issues. You know what Jesus says? Cast all your care upon me. I care for you. Just give it to me. Now, Hook, get to that. Now, don't break your hip. But get to that chair as quick as you can. Amen. Let's give Hook a good hand. Amen. Here's the deal. Can I ask y'all a question? Are we running a race? No. Yes. Paul says we're running a race, right? Mm-hmm. But what happens is when our life gets full of anxiety and issues, we're so careful that we cannot run our race effectively. But when we cast all our care upon Him, by everything, by prayer and supplication, then we don't got to worry about it. Amen. We can just walk. We can just walk with the Lord. That is the process. When we give our anxiety and our worries and our job problems, money problems, family problems, health problems to the Lord, we don't got to worry about it no more. Listen, it doesn't mean that it goes away, but we just give it into the hands of a Savior who can do much more with it than we could ever do. Listen, that is the prerequisite. That is the supernatural exchange. I'm going to give Him my problems, and the Lord's going to give me peace. Prayer equals peace. The prerequisite, there's a supernatural exchange. But what is the other prerequisite? Well, there's a sufficient expectation. A sufficient expectation. So if I'm going to do this with prayer and supplication, that's the prerequisite, that's that supernatural exchange. He says, you're going to do it. There must be a sufficient expectation. Look what he says in verse number 6. Everything by prayer and supplication. What's the next two words? Somebody help me out. With thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Do you know what that means? That means rendering thanks to goods that are received.
Y'all be careful. There's glass right here. Don't let your kids run around barefoot. Okay, I just had to get that out of my way so nobody cut their feet.
Anyway, rendering goods for something received. If you open a door for someone, what do they usually say? Thank you, because you offered a service to them. If you go, some of you will probably go to Culver's tonight. You place your order, okay? Mr. Johnson, that's $50, whatever. I put my bank card in there, they charge it, all right? We'll have your order right up. What should we say? Thank you. Here's the problem. They ain't done nothing for you yet. What have they done? But you have an expectation to receive something from them, right? You kind of hanging around the counter at Culver's. They're real good about it. They give you that little fancy little number on the thing, and you go sit down and say when they bring it to you. But there is a certain expectation you have to receive from them. Paul said it's the same thing. Listen, when you have prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, you pray with expectation that God is going to give you peace. It is a prayer of expectation, because if we don't expect things, we don't have faith. I'm going to prove it to you. I'm going to compare Scripture to Scripture. I want you to go to James chapter number 1. Hold your spot here and go to James 1. I'm going to take you to probably one of the most misinterpreted Bible verses in all of Scripture. Outside of Matthew 7:1, judge not that you should be judged. How many of y'all ever heard that one taken out of context? Amen right there. James 1. James 1, everybody there? Okay, look with me at verse number 8. A double-minded man is what? Unstable and all of that. How many of you ever heard this preached? This is how I've heard it preached. Well, you got people that they're living one side of them's in the world and one side of them's in the church. They're living the life that's on a fence. And listen, when you get on that fence, you're just an unstable man. Y'all heard it preached like that? The problem is that's wrong. Has nothing to do with what James is talking about. Context in Scripture will save you. Let's look at the full context. Let's look at James 1:1. This is what James is talking about. James, a servant of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Verse number 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. Here's the context. You have the 12 tribes. They're scattered. They're being persecuted. They're in a trial. James says, listen, when you're in the trial, you need wisdom. Let me tell you how to ask for wisdom. If you do ask for wisdom, God's not going to rebuke you. He's not going to abrade you, but he's going to give it to you liberally. That word, that means freely. But watch in verse number 6. But let him ask what? In faith. Nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Y'all see the context now? He's talking about a man who asks something of the Lord, but he doesn't have faith when he asks it. He says that man's not going to receive anything. Y'all read the same Bible I'm reading? He's unstable, like the ship tossed to and fro. He asks something of the Lord, but he walks away with no faith that God's going to deliver it to him. Go with me. I want you to jump with me to Romans 14. Would you go there really quick? I'm sorry, Romans 4. Romans 4. Jump with me there real quick. Romans 4. So James, we see a man who wavered. He didn't have faith. When he prayed. When you pray, when you go to God with your problems, your concerns, your anxiety, you have to have an expectation that he's going to deliver. Okay? But notice with me, we see in James, we see a man who didn't. He didn't have faith. But look with him in Romans 4, verse 19. This is talking about Abraham. And being not weak in what, church? he considered not his own body dead. Listen, he's old, but he didn't think that was an issue. Remember, God was going to give Abraham Isaac, but he knew he was old, but he didn't think that was a problem because he believed God. He did not consider his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in what? Faith. Giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Do y'all see the two different types of people? This person, no faith. They're real spiritual. They'll go to God. They'll ask God. Lord, I've got worries. I've got problems. I've got issues. I want that supernatural exchange. I want the peace of God. But the problem is they don't believe he's going to give it to them. But Abraham, I'm 100 years old. Ain't no problem for the God I serve. When we ask of God, Lord, I've got problems. God, you know my job situation, you know my family situation, you know my financial. Lord, but I know that you are. Can I ask y'all a question tonight? Has God not done enough for you to realize by now that God can give you the peace that he promised you? Amen. The God of peace. We must ask God with sufficient expectation, not wavering, not concerned if he will or won't, but with faith. Prerequisite tonight. Prerequisite. There's that sufficient expectation. But then there's a third prerequisite. There is a specific engagement. A specific engagement. Paul says if we're going to obtain peace, we have to get our minds engaged on something. How many of you know this? What we allow our minds to consume will drive us from peace. Watch what Paul says. Verse number 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, what does he say? Think. That word think means to take into account. Consider it. Think on these things. True, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report. Listen, you ain't going to find none of that on CNN. Amen. You ain't going to find it on Fox News. You ain't going to find it on Facebook. You ain't going to find it on Facebook videos. You ain't going to find it on Twitter. You ain't going to find it on TikTok. But can I tell you where you will find it? In the book that's on your lap. Preacher, how do you know? Do you realize tonight, church at Philippi didn't have the New Testament like we have. That's why Paul says everything that you've seen, learned, heard of me, do. He's literally writing out his life. And just as the church of Philippi knew everything about Paul, now we know about Paul and we can do the same thing. Listen to me tonight. What we choose to meditate on matters. What you choose to meditate on matters. We have forfeited our peace because our mind is too engaged with the world. It's too engaged. You go around and you look at our society. We now have any type of information at our fingertips in the blink of an eye. We're so engaged in consuming, and our minds get consumed with it. And listen, I know that you're looking really religious tonight, but every single one of us is guilty. What does that lead to? It leads to anxiety. It leads to discouragement. It leads to being worried. It leads to a concerned and careful life. But Paul says, listen, if you really want to have the peace of God, you've got to get your mind off of those things and let your mind be engaged with what's true and honest. Pure, lovely, of good report. God's Word. You'll find all eight of those in God's Word. Do you realize that tonight? Is God's Word truth? John 17:17. What does it say? Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. Is God's Word honest? That word's honest means honorable. Isaiah 42:21. The Lord is well pleased for the righteous to say, he will magnify thy law and make it honorable. Is God's Word just? Romans 7:12, wherefore the law is holy and commandment holy and just and good. Is God's word pure? Proverbs 30 verse 5, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Psalms 12, 6, the word of the Lord are pure as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Is God's word lovely? Psalms 119, 47, I shall delight in your commandments which I love. I shall lift up my hands to your commandments which I love. Psalms 119, 97, oh how I love your law. Is God's word a good report? Does it bring good news to men? Oh, yes, it does. It tells us how we're a sinner. It tells us how we're condemned. But it tells us not only that we're a sinner, but it tells us that there's a Savior. And let me tell you, honey, tonight, that's good news for the entire world. Good news, good report. Listen, we want peace. We cannot think on worldly things. But we need to think on those eight things. All of them are found in God's word. The psalmist said, in His law doth he meditate day and night. Think. We want peace. We must not think on worldly things. Tonight, listen to me, church. You cannot help what enters your mind. Do you realize that tonight? Your mind will be triggered by what you see, what you smell, what you hear, what you feel. Triggers the mind. And there are times you cannot help what pops up in your mind. But listen to me. What you do with that thought is up to you. You can start to meditate on it, or you can cast it down immediately. And the problem is, most of us, if we're not careful, we will sit there and think on it and meditate on it. When God says, no, get it out and meditate here. Lastly, number three tonight. Obtaining peace, we see the protection of peace. The promise of peace, the prerequisite of peace, what we must do, the supernatural exchange, we exchange our anxiety for God's peace. The specific expectation, then the engagement, then number three, the protection of peace. Verse number seven, he says, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know what the word keep means tonight, church, in your King James Bible? It means to guard. It means to protect. We have a promise of Scripture that if we do what we just talked about, this is amazing to me, that God's peace, the peace of God and the God of peace, will keep. Is that what it says? And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The word keep is the idea of a military guard. Has the idea of military men standing post, guarding and protecting, fighting off anything that's not supposed to get through. And the Lord, through Paul, is saying, listen, if you do these things, the Holy Spirit of God will protect your mind and protect your heart. Listen, how does He do that? He does it through His Word. He protects us. And can I say this tonight? Last night of August, I believe. It's tomorrow, September 1st. Is that right? In 2022, when you leave these doors tonight, you go to your job place tomorrow, whatever you do, you need protection on your mind and your heart. Because the devil wants to, listen, he wants to influence. Oh, preacher, the devil can't influence me. Yeah, Peter thought the same thing. The Lord says, get thee behind me, Satan. But he says, listen, if you do these things, your mind and your heart will be protected. Levin Strauss said this, when everything is placed trustingly into the hands of our Heavenly Father, prayer, petition, praise, we know that He will keep watch over our hearts and minds so that nothing can upset us emotionally or mentally. As I close tonight, there was a man by the name of Joseph Scriven. Joseph Scriven was born in 1819 in Dublin, Ireland. He graduated from Trinity School. He was a Christian, wanted to be a lawyer. Found himself, fell in love with a young girl. They were engaged to be married. The day before his wedding day, his wife drowned. Tragedy struck. Discouraged, somewhat defeated, he left Ireland just trying to get away from it all. But how many of you know you can't outrun your problems? And he left and he moved to Canada. He met a fine Christian young lady. But that lady ended up getting sick of illness and she died as well. Just when you think things can't get worse, he gets a phone, or he gets information back from his mom is still in Dublin, Ireland. Gets information back from Ireland that his mom's sick. Not having the finances to get back and help his mother. She too passed away. Before he realized that she passed away, his relationship with God grown so deep. Under all the circumstances that Joseph Scriven had, he wrote a letter, read a poem to his mom. He couldn't get there, didn't have the money to get there. So he tried to write her a letter of encouragement. God had been so real to him. This is what that letter said to his mom. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Listen to me, church. You don't got to carry around your anxiety. You don't got to carry around your problems and your issues. I've got a Lord that said, listen, I'll take care of your burden. There'll be a supernatural exchange. Don't go around tomorrow worrying. Just give it to the Lord. And however, listen, He'll give you the peace that, however He's going to take care of it, He will. But allow Him to give you that supernatural peace. Peace is obtainable tonight. It's promised. Exchange your worries for peace. Engage in His promises. Allow God through His Word to protect your heart and mind in a world full of troubles. Let's pray. God, we love You tonight. Lord, I'm thankful for Your Word. I'm thankful for Your promises. God, I'm thankful, Lord, that there could be a supernatural exchange. Our worries, anxiety, concerns for Your peace. Lord, You never intended us, God, to live a life of worrying. God, You didn't promise us from tribulation. God, we'll have tribulation. But Lord, I'm thankful that You promised You'd never leave us nor forsake us. God, I know before me tonight, Lord, are real people with real problems and real issues. Lord, I do believe with all my heart, God, that if we would just listen to Your Word, God, that if we would just give it to You, Lord, we can walk out of here with our head held high, knowing and having and obtaining Your peace. And Lord, we're thankful, God, that it's a promise, not a recommendation, not a possibility, but it's a promise. And so, Lord, I ask, God, that You'd help us to apply what we've been taught tonight. Lord, help us not to be forgetful tomorrow. God, when we're faced with the issue, we're faced with a problem. Lord, help us to truly apply Your Word, and God, just give it to You. Lord, we're thankful, Lord, that we know, God, that You'll fulfill that promise. Lord, I ask, God, that You give us safety, Lord, as we travel home. Lord, would You protect Your people? Would You protect Your flock? Lord, bring us back at the next appointed time. We love You. In Your name we pray. Amen. You stand, shake hands with your neighbor. You're dismissed.